RadioInfluence.com.
You are in the trenches with former Buccaneers offensive lineman Ian Beckles on Radio Influence.
Hello, everybody. This is Ian Beckles, and welcome back to In the Trenches. Wasn't the outcome that we were expecting yesterday. You know, I don't know if everybody saw that coming. I didn't hear many people picking the Buccaneers to beat the Saints. I didn't hear many people picking the Buccaneers to beat the Carolina Panthers either, and that's what happened. So I guess what everybody expected to happen yesterday happened. It didn't probably start off the way everybody expected. The Buccaneers came out 14-3, halftime lead. The Saints are questioning themselves. And, you know, the Bucs have been a weird team this year to where they've been getting killed a lot in the first half and figure out ways to come out in the second half and, you know, get back into games. They've actually done really well in the third and fourth quarters, and yesterday that wasn't the case. They came out in the first half and had a pretty good game plan for Drew Brees, and then the second half it didn't quite work, didn't score any points, and you know, couldn't really stop them. So, you know, with DeSean Jackson still out, and I don't foresee DeSean Jackson coming back, you know, I don't know if it's a personal thing. I don't know if it's a physical thing. I don't know if it's just something that Dirk Cutter wants to see. I don't know if DeSean Jackson even deserves to get back on the field with the Buccaneers. Are they better with him on the field? Probably. You know, without him on the field, I find the field is restricted and condensed a little bit because we don't have that guy coming out the back. Although Mike Evans had a couple nice deep routes that Jameis hit him on. But that one big play is what DeSean Jackson is about, and we don't have him anymore and probably won't. And, you know, looking down the way, we're going to get something for him in the offseason, hopefully. But it won't be that much. It really won't. You know, looking at Jameis Winston, who is awkwardly deceptive, okay? He's awkward. As an athlete, he's awkward, although he's very athletic. I mean, he's getting away from amazing rushes yesterday. You know, Jameis had an average game. You know, I think personally people are putting too much stock in this don't make a mistake thing. I really do. You know, great quarterbacks make mistakes. They really do. And if you talk about Jameis Winston, you know, he likes to roll out and make some spectacular plays and spin out of sacks and stuff. And I don't know if you want to take that out of him, you know, but 18 for 38 for 213 yards, that's a pedestrian day. That's not anything to, you know, write home about. As a whole, I thought that the Buccaneers could have done a better job protecting pass blocking wise. They gave up four sacks. Could have been probably another two or three. Jameis got him out of a couple situations. Jameis always gets his big plays rolling out. Always seems that way. But eventually you'd like to find Jameis, you know, you'd like to see him making a lot more plays in the pocket. And that's just not, it's not his thing. But this Buccaneers team is not far from something, and I don't know what the hell it is. It's not far. I don't know if this is the regime to take them to where they need to go, because you're 5-8. You know, before last game, so one thing Buccaneer fans are able to do, they're able to sway. They're able to sway one way or the other. Buccaneer fans would go from everybody needs to be fired, then a one or two games later, everybody needs to be retained. You know, last week, everybody, what if the Bucs run the table? What if the Bucs lose out? It was more likely, you know, with a 5-8 team, that your team loses out than it runs the table. It's just not a likely thing, especially with the teams that the Buccaneers still have to play. They still have to play Baltimore, who is playing some pretty darn good football with their new quarterback, Lamar Jackson. The low is going to be 39. The high is going to be 47. So it's not exactly going to be Buccaneer weather. They got to play the Dallas Cowboys, who's kicking the shit out of everybody right now and have a pretty darn good defense. And then you got to play the Atlanta Falcons, who, you know, aren't a great football team, but hey, who are we to say anybody else isn't great? Who are we to say anybody isn't great right now? So forget about winning out. We can lose out. That's very, very possible. And some of the consistency ran out a little bit yesterday. I didn't see the pass rush like I'd seen in the past, last couple of games. You know, Drew Brees is going to get rid of that ball faster than everybody. There's a couple out there that get rid of the ball that quickly. Drew Brees was one of them. Tom Brady's another one. Some of the things that were kind of a downer is you got Santos missing two kicks. Well, my guy, he's the one guy I was confident on coming out there and making a kick, and he misses two kicks all of a sudden. Now, it's not quite the same as it was, right? Things happen so quickly. You go from, let's sign this kicker to a multi-year deal to, uh-oh, it takes two kicks, and all of a sudden everything is completely different. One thing that's important for my clothing is comfort. And if you're into comfort like I am, you have to check out my people at Mack Weldon. Mack Weldon is just better than whatever you're wearing right now. Mack Weldon is a premium men's essential brand that believes in smart design and premium fabrics. And once again, it's about as comfortable as anything I've ever worn before. They come up with socks, shirts, undershirts, hoodies, sweatpants, and a lot of other things as well. Once again, it's all about comfort, and it looks pretty darn good as well. They've also come up with a line of silver underwear and shirts that are naturally antimicrobial, which means they eliminate odor. And for a limited time, if you don't like your first pair, you can keep it, and they will refund you, and there's no questions asked. So you got to take advantage of with what's happening here on the website. So go to MackWeldon.com, and what you do is the first 20% will be off your first order. If you visit MackWeldon.com and you use the enter the promo code Trenches. So once again, go to MackWeldon.com. Your first 20% will be off your first order using the promo code Trenches. So take advantage. That game was changed in special teams when Hill for the Saints blocked that kick. I mean, that's the change. That's when the game changed right there. You get that kick off, you know, our defense was feeling good about themselves at that time. You block the kick, and you know, all of a sudden you put it in. And it's in our zone, and it's a quick touchdown, and all of a sudden the game switched around completely. You know, special teams are a big part of football, man. They're a big part of football, and people win and lose games by special teams every single week. Well, we lost a game from special teams yesterday. And that Saints team, we beat them in the first week, and they didn't leave feeling they're that much better than us yesterday. I didn't think so. You know, when you think about what we brought to the table, I still think that Jameis has an issue with the long ball. I don't know what it is. I don't know what it is. He just, that's not his thing. It's just not his thing. It's unfortunate. Peyton Barber at 14 rushes for 42 yards. You know, I mean, that's about what it is. It's about what it is. It's just an average thing. We don't really ever try to run it down anybody's throat. Never try it. Even though we're winning in some games, we never try to impose our will on anybody. You know, looking at what they did over there with New Orleans between Ingram and Kamara, you know, they had 25 carries for 103 yards. You know, that's imposing your will a little bit, but you know, 14 carries for 42 yards, that's not enough. It's not enough. Against a team that is heavy on the run, with a great quarterback, in a game that you were up, you know, I would expect you to run the ball a few more times, personally. And I got an email from Alex Hodo that gave me email. If anybody wants to email me, it's IanBakels@radioinfluence.com. And basically, he was asking me who I would start at offensive line. First of all, it's not really who I'd start. It was who I would have in there. I mean, I'm not Jason Light, but Jason Light's starting the right people because that's all he has. You know, he doesn't have anybody better than Donovan Smith at left tackle, or else he'd be in there. Donovan Smith is not good. I mean, every week Donovan Smith's going to do three bonehead things, at least three, every single week. Lamar Dawson came back, had a penalty. I mean, Jensen has a couple penalties every week, it seems like. There's just a lot of penalties on this offensive line on the regular. Benenock, you know, you want to say put Kappa in there, but Kappa practices every day. If he's better than Benenock, I mean, they would put him in there. They don't have any allegiance to Benenock. I hope not, because he's not good. He's not good. And as an offensive line in general, it just wasn't all that pretty. It wasn't all that pretty. And it just hasn't been pretty for a while. And Jameis, every time he sits back there, it seems like he has to sidestep her. And I'm telling you, sometimes it's not the offensive line. Sometimes it's not the receiver. Sometimes it's Jameis. Sometimes it's Jameis. There's people out there running around scot-free at times, and Jameis doesn't see everything. He really doesn't. So, Jason Light, I don't know if you have the right people. I really don't. Right now, you know, the Bucks are 5-8. They pick 8th right now. You know, I hate the talk at the end of the year of people throwing games to, you know, get better picks. It does happen. It's a fact. When I was in Philadelphia, it's a fact. My last game of my season, the last game I ever played in Philadelphia, factually, we threw that game. I mean, we were, I want to say, 5-10 or 4-10 or 4-11, something like that. And we're playing the Giants in the last game of the season. And Deuce Staley had 100 yards, I believe, in the first half and in the second half with Bobby Hoying as our quarterback. We're throwing the ball all over the yard. And I said to my coach, my offensive line coach, we're throwing this game, aren't we? And he looked at me and he turned around and walked away. Didn't say no. And we ended up losing the game and ended up getting a second pick in the draft. And the first pick in the draft was Tim Couch. And the second pick in the draft happened to have been Donovan McNabb. So, do teams do it? I believe so. Hopefully not with 4 games left in the season with a team that needs to learn. That this team needs to learn how to win. And you better not be throwing games when this might be the end of your tenure. Because I know for a fact Dirk Cutter and Jason Light are going out there trying to win football games. No doubt. No doubt. So this Buccaneer team is on a roller coaster this year. I don't know where it's going to go from this point, but I don't see the trio, and the trio being Dirk Cutter and Jason Light and Jameis Winston. I don't see them all being here next year. There's no scenario where Jason Light will be here without the others. There's no scenario. It's just a scenario where Jameis is still here and the others are gone, but I just don't see it happening anymore. Because it's just, you know, you go to a football game. I don't pay all that money to go watch these games, but you go watch these games and people are paying a lot of money to see a lesser product, and I think they're getting bored of it. I think they're getting bored of it, but I think they're also getting tired of change and new systems and new hope. So, you know, maybe they go Mike McCarthy route. I don't know. It'd be nice to have somebody in here who at least knows what a Super Bowl champion looks like and, you know, hopefully be heading help us head in the right direction, because I'm not sure that direction is where we're heading right now. Definitely not. All right, if anybody wants to ever email me, it's ianbeckles@radioinfluence.com. I have a couple other podcasts as well. Cannabis Podcast comes out on Wednesday, and Flavor in Your Ear comes out on Friday. So you want to check out those podcasts as well. And let's hope that we're talking next week about a Buccaneer victory again. It's getting towards the end of the season, and there's three more left. There's Baltimore, there's Dallas, and there's Atlanta. Let's hope that somehow the Buccaneers can figure out a way to win these last three. And I know there's some fans out there thinking, don't even bother, we'll get a good draft pick. To me, winning's way more important. Learning how to win is way more important than get a high draft pick, and that's just me. Anyways, everybody enjoy their week, and let's hope the Bucs fare a little bit better next week, all right? Peace out.
You have been in the trenches with Ian Beckles on Radio Influence. This is a Landry Football with Chris Landry. Quick fix on Radio Influence.
Matt asks, after grading the Bears starting quarterback over the last 2 years, do you believe the Bears were wise to draft him? Do you believe they still have the potential to develop into a franchise quarterback? Mitch is going to be really good, and I think he's taken a step up under Matt Nagy. Do I think he has the potential of a Deshaun Watson? No. I don't have any question about them taking a quarterback that high. Maybe you could question who they took. That's debatable. I think he'll be really good. I think he'll be, you know, a better version of an Alex Smith that can be a guy you can win with and maybe a little bit more. But I think you're going to have to obviously have a – I think if you look at him, he's done a good job, and they've done a good job with him. A running game and a defense around him, I think, has a lot to do with it. I think, again, I would have gone with a different quarterback, but I like him, and I don't have any problem with them. If they liked him, taking the quarterback, it's really important. They wouldn't be in playoff contention right now without him. They also wouldn't be there without the play around him. But the quarterback play, all you got to do is look at the roster in Jacksonville and see that they've got a playoff caliber talent, but the quarterback play is struggling and it's putting too much pressure on their running game. The running game can't get going, and you know the rest.
Chris Landry brings you Landry Football every week on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, Google Play, and of course, RadioInfluence.com.